The reading this evening is taken from Luke's Gospel, chapter 4, verses 1 to 13, and it's on page 973 in the Pew Bible. Luke chapter 4, starting at verse 1. Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, left the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, where for 40 days he was tempted by the devil. He ate nothing during those days, and at the end of them, he was hungry. The devil said to him, "If you are the Son of God, tell this stone to become bread." Jesus answered, "It is written, man shall not live on bread alone." The devil led him up to a high place and showed him in an instant all the kingdoms of the world. And he said to him, "I will give you all their authority and splendor. It has been given to me, and I can give it to anyone I want to. If you worship me, it will all be yours." Jesus answered, "It is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only." The devil led him to Jerusalem and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. "If you are the Son of God," he said, "throw yourself down from here, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you to guard you carefully. They will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone." Jesus answered, "It is said, do not put the Lord your God to the test." When the devil had finished all this tempting, he left him until an opportune time. Thanks be to God for his word.
So tonight we have the first from the Lent series that we'll be doing in the home groups from this week onwards as we look forward to Easter. And today's session is on the temptation of Christ. And before I start, I think it'd be helpful to have a prayer together. Father, we thank you that you sent Jesus to show us the way that you want us to live. We thank you that Jesus has the power to resist the devil today, just as he had when he walked the earth. Thank you that you have filled your people with your Holy Spirit, so that we have that same power within us. Open our hearts and minds to you this evening, that we will leave here with a new understanding of what your victory over sin means to us personally, that our lives would be transformed to be more like Jesus. Amen. Right, today then, thinking about Jesus, he's 30 years old and his ministry is just about to start. And his ministry was only 3 years long. And in our passage, we're at the very beginning of Jesus' ministry. He's just been baptized by John the Baptist and was ready to fulfill his purpose. He was full of the Holy Spirit. But before he began his ministry, something else took place. Jesus was led by the Holy Spirit into the wilderness, where he goes without food for 40 days. He may have chosen to have a time of fasting and praying, to spend time with his Heavenly Father and to be focused for the ministry that he was about to launch. We read in verse 2 that he is not on his own. The devil is with him, tempting him. This was a test that Jesus had to pass. Why would the devil want to tempt Jesus? Well, in order for Jesus to fulfill his mission of redemption, he had to remain sinless. If the devil could get Jesus to sin, then Jesus could not fulfill his mission. In this passage of scripture, we read about three temptations that Jesus faced. To satisfy his physical hunger by turning rocks into bread. To receive the kingdoms and authorities that are ultimately going to be his by rights, by a shortcut, an easier way that would avoid suffering and pain. And thirdly, to get God's people on his side by attracting attention to himself in the wrong way. Each temptation tested Jesus' self-control and whether he really would put God first in all things, aligning his will with his Father's. Well, temptations are attractive, aren't they? Otherwise there wouldn't be temptations. And Jesus was fully God and fully man. So he experienced temptation just like we do. He found it hard. He had to dig deep. Being tempted isn't a sin, but giving in to temptation leads to sin. As the saying goes, birds can fly over your head, but you don't have to let them nest in your hair. So we're going to look at temptations of Christ and how they relate to us, so that we are more aware of how we can be tempted and to empower us to have victory over sin, because we don't have to keep on falling in to the same traps again and again. Don't think that's just my weakness or my besetting sin, because it doesn't have to be. Jesus died and rose again to give us victory. With all the temptations that are in the world, why did the devil choose these three? The first temptation, if you've got your Bible in front of you, this is from verse 3. The devil said to him, "If you are the Son of God, tell this stone to become bread." Well, Jesus had been fasting for 40 days. 40 days without food. Needless to say, he was pretty hungry. In fact, he was literally starving. Research shows that humans can go for about 8 weeks without food, as long as they have water. So that's 56 days, and your body starts getting permanent damage long before then. So 40 days is about as long as you would want to go without risking permanent health-related side effects. So 40 days without food, and the devil says to Jesus, "If you are the Son of God, tell this stone to become bread." When the devil said, "If you are the Son of God," he wasn't questioning Jesus' deity. He very well knew that Jesus was the Son of God. What was happening was that the devil was issuing a challenge. Turn this stone into bread. Could Jesus have done it? Without a doubt. It would have taken no effort at all for the creator of the universe to turn rocks into bread. But there was more to this challenge than bread. Certainly Jesus was very hungry. Turning rocks into bread would have satisfied a physical craving, but it would have created spiritual damage. The problem with physical cravings is that they can only be temporarily satisfied. The physical craving of food is natural and certainly not sinful, but we all know that there are physical cravings that are definitely sinful. The craving for more and more stuff, the craving for more money, lustful cravings, the cravings to always do what we want to do. These cravings are never totally satisfied. If you give in to them, you may receive temporary satisfaction, but it won't be long until you want more stuff, more money, more whatever. When you are focused on satisfying the physical, you will starve the spiritual. Satan knows this, which is why he tried to get Jesus to lose sight of the spiritual and focus on the physical. And what was Jesus' response? In verse 4, Jesus answered, "It is written, man does not live on bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God." This is a quotation from Deuteronomy 8, verse 3. In other words, yes, we do need to take care of our physical needs. However, to be totally healthy, we can't focus on the physical alone. We also need to take care of our spiritual nature. And how do we do that? Well, remembering back to last Sunday morning when Ruth was speaking, it's about taking hold of God's word, the Bible, studying it. And when Jesus was resisting the temptation to turn rocks into bread, how did he do it? He quoted scripture that he already knew. If you ever hope to defeat the devil, you must know your Bible. This takes effort and time, but it's well worth it. Second temptation, then, was for an easier way. So, starting from verse 5, the devil led him up to a high place and showed him in an instant all the kingdoms of the world. And he said to him, "I will give you all their authority and splendor, for it has been given to me, and I can give it to anyone I want to. So if you worship me, it will all be yours." Jesus answered, "It is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only." So the devil takes Jesus to a high place and somehow shows Jesus all the kingdoms of the world in an instant. How does he do that? I've no idea, and the scripture doesn't tell us. However, he did, and as he was showing him all the kingdoms of the world, he looks at Jesus and says, "I'll give you all their authority and splendor, for it's been given to me, and I can give it to anyone I want to. So worship me, and it's all yours." What is the devil talking about? I've never really quite understood this, so I've quite enjoyed preparing this and digging deep, finding out. So, have all the kingdoms of the world really been given to the devil? Well, sort of. We've got to remember who we're dealing with here. According to John 8, verse 44, the devil is a liar and the father of all lies. And you cannot take anything the devil says at face value. One of the problems with the devil's lies is that it's usually just about enough truth in them to make them believable. And that's exactly what we're seeing here. So the truth is that the scripture tells us clearly that the earth is the Lord's and everything in it, in Psalm 24, verse 1. It all belongs to God. However, at the same time, the devil has been given temporary authority over it. So in John 12, verse 31, he speaks of the devil being the ruler of this world. So how can God own it all and yet Satan be the ruler? Well, there's an example to try and clarify things. Could I give your car to someone else? No, it's not mine to give. However, if you loaned me your car, it wouldn't be mine technically, but I would be in charge of it while it remained in my possession, and so I would have authority over it, and I could do with it what I wanted whilst you had given it into my possession. And then when you come to get the car back, my authority over it would end. And that's kind of like what's going on here. The earth is the Lord's. Everything belongs to God. However, since sin entered the world back in Genesis 3, the devil has temporary authority over the earth. So could Satan have given Jesus authority over the kingdoms of the earth? Yes. Even though Jesus as God owns it all, it is currently under the authority of Satan. So what is Satan trying to accomplish? There's a very definite purpose behind this situation. The thing we can never forget is that Satan knows scripture better than we ever will, and he's fully aware of Jesus' purpose, namely to die for the sins of mankind. The devil also knew that all he had to do was to get Jesus to fail just once. One sin was all it would take for Jesus to not be able to fulfill his purpose. So why would this have been a temptation for Jesus? It was a big deal because of what Satan was offering. Satan was offering Jesus a shortcut. He was offering a kingdom without a cross. He was offering Jesus power without pain. Do not think for a moment that the cross was easy for Jesus. It was the most agonizing and excruciating thing that anyone could possibly imagine. Jesus knew that laid before him. He knew the pain and the torture that were coming just 3 short years away. And Satan was offering Jesus a way to gain authority without going through all of that. All Jesus had to do was to fall down and worship Satan just once. And nobody else was even around. But Jesus knew the importance of his mission and that there could be no shortcuts. I don't know what Jesus' reaction to this temptation was, but my thought is that if it was an easy thing to resist, it wouldn't really have been a temptation, would it? It's very possible that Jesus briefly considered Satan's offer. It's also very evident that Jesus wasn't very interested in the devil's offer. Jesus replied with a scripture straight out of Deuteronomy 6, "Worship the Lord your God and serve him only." So, what does it all mean to us? Is there a lesson that we can learn through all of this? The danger of shortcuts, doing things our own way rather than God's way, trying to sort things out ourselves rather than spending time listening and praying. The temptation is to be self-reliant rather than reliant on God. You'll never have a dynamic faith while trying to take shortcuts. You have to put the time into studying God's word and listening to his voice, just as you have to put in the time to build and maintain relationships. This stuff all requires effort and time, and sometimes it can cause pain and inconvenience. This is where the temptation for shortcuts becomes dangerous. But if you're going to fulfill God's call on your life, you must resist doing things your own way and submit to his way. Third temptation. It's all about me, not all about Jesus. So, verse 9. The devil led him to Jerusalem and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. If you are the Son of God, he said, throw yourself down from here, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you to guard you carefully. They will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. Jesus answered, it says, do not put the Lord your God to the test. So in this final temptation, Satan takes Jesus to the top of the temple and he had him stand at the highest point. The temple was a big deal. It was the focal point of the Jewish faith and religion. While the devil and Jesus were standing on the top of the temple, the devil tells Jesus to throw himself down, quoting Psalm 91. He will command his angels concerning you to guard you carefully. They will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. Why was this a temptation for Jesus? Can't imagine ever being tempted to jump off a high building. What was going on here? Now, this is another spiritual temptation. If you remember that the temple was the centre for the Jewish faith, and it was located in Jerusalem, the most important city in Israel, there were a lot of people hanging around. Now, what do you think would happen if Jesus did throw himself off the temple roof and got caught by angels? Likely, people would have noticed. I know that if I saw someone jump off a roof and get caught by angels, that would have my undivided attention. In fact, I can pretty much guarantee that if I was a first century Jew, that I would want to set this person in place as the Messiah. While this might seem like a shortcut similar to the second temptation, and I guess it partially is, the focus of this temptation is not in the shortcut. Take a look at Jesus' response in verse 12. It says, do not put the Lord your God to the test. I think the devil might have been trying to get Jesus to show off a little. Pride can easily come in. Look how amazing I am. Now, Jesus really was amazing. But pride is still a sin. All the devil had to do was to push Jesus enough to get him to cross the line into pride. And pride is something that all of us struggle with to one degree or another. When I start to say, look how great I am, instead of look how great God is, then pride becomes a problem. It's subtle. It's about who I am and what I've done. And we can easily become self-righteous like the Pharisees and have spiritual pride. When all the temptations were over, the devil was still not done. In verse 13, when the devil had finished all this tempting, he left him until an opportune time. And the devil will do the same to us. The temptations will never stop. We must always be on our guard. We are weak, but Jesus is strong. And we belong to Jesus. He has filled us with his Holy Spirit. We have everything that we need to be able to resist temptation. And he has provided for us when we do fall into temptation. Through his cleansing blood, we have forgiveness. I want to finish with two promises. The first one from 1 Corinthians chapter 10. You'll notice that my title today, Standing Strong, comes from here. If you think you are standing strong, be careful not to fall. The temptations in your life are no different from what others experience, and God is faithful. He will not allow the temptation to be more than you can stand. When you are tempted, he will show you a way out so that you can endure. And James 4, verse 7, resist the devil and he will flee from you. Come close to God and he will come close to you.